بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 3rd of January in the year 2021 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 10th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Kahf and I've already started the commentary on verse 28, but to complete it today, inshallah. So, again, the translation. And keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking only His face. And let not your eyes pass beyond them, seeking the pomp and glitter of this world. Nor obey any whose heart we have allowed to neglect the remembrance of us. One who follows his own desire, whose case has gone beyond all bounds. So there's a report. And this report was the reason for this revelation. So this hadith is recorded in Ibn Majah, number 4127, with a sahih chain of transmission. And Tabarani in his Kabir, 4-7-0. Sayyidina Khabbab radiyallahu anhu, he relates. Akra ibn Habis al-Tamimi and Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari. They came and found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting with Suhaib, Bilal, Ammar and Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala. So simply put, two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these two men, they were chiefs. So they were not from the Quraysh, they were from outside. One was called Akra ibn Habis from Banu Tamim, and Uyayna ibn al-Hisn al-Fazari. And he was, I believe, from Ghatafan. So these were two leaders of powerful tribes. And when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was with him? He mentions four sahab. Suhaib, the Roman, radiyallahu anhu. Bilal, the Abyssinian, radiyallahu anhu. Ammar, i.e. whose mother was famously tortured to death. And Khabbab, the one who was greatly tortured in the early period. The report continues. They were sitting with the weak believers, meaning there were others as well. When the two men saw them around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they looked down upon them. Thus they came to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, separated him from them, and then said, we want that you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should sit with us separately, so that the Arabs should recognize our precedence, for the delegations of Arabs come to you, whereupon we feel ashamed that the Arabs should see us sitting with these slaves. Hence, when we come to you, ask them to move away from you. When we finish, you may then ask them to keep company with you, if you so desire. So the two men, they couldn't sit with the Sahaba, because these were slaves according to them. So they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first they took him away from the Sahaba. Then they said, look, people are coming to you interested in Islam, and we find it below our dignity to sit with these men. So when we come to you, let us have a private audience. And then when we leave, you can sit back with them. He said, Allah alayhi wa sallam, he said, all right. They said, then write a document to this effect for us on your behalf. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, weighing it up, he thought, if this leads to them embracing Islam, then I'm sure that the Sahaba won't mind. That's what his mindset was. He goes, okay. But then they said, can you write a document? Meaning, so that we know that you're not going to break your word. That was their chain of thought. He said, Allah alayhi wa sallam, then called for a piece of paper and sent for Ali radiallahu anhu to write it whilst we were still sitting around him. So he went back to the Sahaba. He told Ali to get some writing material. And then what happened? Upon this, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended and he recited Surah 6 verse 52. So in Surah An'am verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not send away those who call on their Lord morning and evening seeking his face. In nothing are you accountable for them, and in nothing are they accountable for you, that you should turn away from them and thus be amongst the oppressors. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed a verse very similar to the one in Surah Al-Kahf, very similar, but slightly different. And he told his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never leave their company. If you do, you will be a zalim. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a mention of the two, Akra ibn Habis and Uyayna ibn Hisn. And then he recited the next verse, verse 53. So Surah 6 verse 53. Thus did we test some of them by comparison with others, that they should say, is it these that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored from amongst us? Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know best those who are grateful? So then he recited the next verse, Surah 6 verse 53. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious tells the reality. He goes, I test people like this. I expose them. And then he quotes Akra or Uyayna. And what did they say? Has God favored these above us? What's interesting, did they say that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. So Allah Ta'ala is telling them what they were saying really amongst themselves. Then Allah Ta'ala goes, don't you think I know who the grateful are? Meaning, gratitude is such a great characteristic, it leads to guidance. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited the next portion of verse 54. When those who come to you who believe in our signs say, Salamun alaykum, your Lord has inscribed for himself mercy. And then what happened? Thereafter, we, i.e. the initial few Sahaba, Suhaib, Bilal, Khabbab, and Ammar, thereafter, we got extremely close to him, so much so that we placed our knees close to his knees. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then used to sit with us, and when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to stand, he would then move away and leave us sitting. But Allah the Almighty then revealed verse 28 of Surah Al-Kahf. Now this verse was revealed. And keep your soul content with those who call upon their Lord morning and evening, seeking his face to the end. Then Khabbab said, the case of Uyayna and Akra was abandoned. When it was time for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand, we would then stand and depart from him. Thereafter he would stand to leave. So this is the full context of these verses. So simply put, Surah 6 verse 52 to 4 were revealed first, when these men came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what happened was, that they sat very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when obviously the Prophet had to leave, he would stand and walk away. But Allah Ta'ala didn't even like that. Think about that. Then that verse in Surah Al-Kahf was revealed. Have you understood? So Surah Al-Kahf was a second passage saying don't even leave their presence. So then the Sahaba realized that he needs to do his own worldly needs. He's not leaving because of the Quran. So they themselves, they said we would stand and walk away, because we knew that the Prophet wanted to do his daily chores. So look at the status of these noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So now just to add a few things here. If you go back to verse 52 of Surah An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting. He says, مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. In nothing are you accountable for them, and in nothing are they accountable for you. What does that mean? So that was the first verse that was revealed. The scholars point out, from a worldly point of view, they had nothing to gain from Muhammad, as he himself was poor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had nothing to gain from them, as they had no influence. There's the sincerity. So when they became Muslims, they embraced Islam in the early period. To embrace Islam at that time, you have to be sincere, because you're asking for everybody to come down like a ton of bricks. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In nothing are you accountable for them, meaning you don't get any benefit from them. There's your sincerity. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in nothing are they accountable for you. So Allah ta'ala highlights why they were so dear. Because they were so dear because of their sincerity. Therefore, just before that, what does Allah ta'ala say? You redo na wajha, seeking his face. They are very sincere. Allah ta'ala goes, I know what's in their hearts. Now look at the contrast. The two men that came, were they sincere? We can't see that. All we see is poor sahaba and some men that came. And the Prophet took the logical approach. Well, they're already solid in their iman. Let me work on these two. But Allah ta'ala knows the reality. He goes, no. Do not leave them for them. But now what's interesting? Those two men, what happened to them? So what's interesting, you can ask me more later, is that they eventually did embrace Islam. The two men. When they embraced Islam, they only embraced Islam because of the Prophet's generosity. He just kept giving to them. Giving, and eventually they finally... But then they apostatized. So when the Prophet ﷺ left the world, they apostatized. One of them followed Tulayha, the false prophet. But then, they embraced Islam again. When they embraced Islam again, they became solid. And they were martyred in the Battle of Yarmouk. Right? So, when you talk about these people, you need to look at their end state. So what happened? Allah Ta'ala also knew that eventually these people will embrace Islam. But what did Khabab say? We gave up on them. So Khabab was telling you the human failings. In other words, they thought, look, Quran was revealed, this, that. We've given up hope on them. But did Allah Ta'ala give up hope on them? That shows that some people need more reassurance. So those two, we shouldn't start saying like some people, God damn them. Astaghfirullah. Do you know the end state of these people? God damn them. Right? So they were good people. But they needed more help from Rasulullah. And of course, his successes that Allah did. So simply put, if a person says on Surah 6 verse 52 and Surah 18 verse 28 the same, the answer is they look the same. But Surah 6 verse 52 was revealed first. And Surah 18 verse 28 was revealed a second time. Why? Because the Prophet was told not to leave their presence. Have you understood? Right? So there's a difference there. And this also shows the greatness of these noble companions. Radiyallahu ta'ala. Also in another report, it mentions. So this is recorded in a Hakim al Mustadrak 1-122, and he states Sahih. Imam Zahabi states Sahih. Ibn Kathir's Tafsir and Ibn Jarir Tafsir 15-155, Kanzul Omal number 1932. Imam Ahmad in his Zuhd. Salman al Farsi, Thabit said, Thabit al Bunani, the one who's playing in his grave. Thabit al-Bunani rahmatullah alayhi said, Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu anhu was sitting with a group of companions doing dhikr. When Rasulullah came to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or came by them, they lowered their voice. Thus he asked them, what were you just saying? They said, we were doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw the divine mercy descend on you. So I also wanted to join you in it. Then he prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made amongst my ummah those who I should be patient with. So let's look at this. So Salman al-Farsi, the Persian, notice he's one of the, he was also another one in that gathering. Khabab didn't mention him. Salman was there as well. He was doing zikr in a gathering. So what zikr were they doing? Allah Ta'ala knows best. When the Prophet came, they lowered their voice. They thought maybe the Prophet needs something, but they still continued their zikr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't know why he came. They thought it was just by coincidence. It wasn't coincidence. He was told to go there. And then he goes, what were you doing? So they said, Rasulullah, we were doing zikr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw rahmah descend upon you. I wanted a share of it. So where is the divine mercy descending? Gatherings of zikr. And people foolishly walk past. Imagine, rahmah's coming down. Imagine if somebody says to you, come on lads, money's coming out of the heavens. Right? £50 notes are falling down. So, you want some? Be queuing outside. Right? Be queuing outside. And they're not going to leave until the 50 pound note stops. But what's great? Rahma or 50 pound notes. And people walk away. Imagine how stupid that is. Did Rasulullah need that mercy? Some people say, oh, no, I'm all right, brother. Well, Rasulullah needed it. Who are you? Where have you popped out from? Right? Astaghfirullah. Right? And then he said, I have been told to be patient. So what was he talking about there? He's talking about this verse. He didn't recite the verse, but he was referring to, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Keep your soul content with those who call upon their Lord morning and evening. So note, revelation, it was revealed for a reason. But now there's another wisdom of this verse. Allah Ta'ala is telling you to be content with the people who do this. Not flee like asses from a lion, like the Quran mentions. So this is another report, Sayyid. There's another report. So this is recorded in Tabarani in Al-Saghir, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'i 10-76, Targheeb 2-405, Ayat al-Sahaba volume 5, page 53-4. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Abdullah ibn Rawah, who was preaching to his companions. So now there's six men mentioned. Salman, Suhail, Bilal, Ammar, Khabbab, Abdullah ibn Rawah. So here the Prophet passes by Abdullah ibn Rawah, who was preaching to his companions. Preaching, meaning he's doing da'wat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and look at the words he used, very interesting. Ama innakumul mal'al ladina amarani Allahi an usbira nafsi ma'akum. Indeed, you are such a people along with whom my Lord commanded me to restrain myself. He said it again. Allah Ta'ala has told me to be content with you. Then he recited this verse, Surah 18, verse 28. After reciting this verse, he then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the second thing he said. Ama innahu ma jalasa uddatukum ay bi adakikum illa jalasa ma'hum uddatuhum min al malaika. There are as many angels sitting with you as you are in number. So how many were sitting there? We don't know. But the Prophet said, exactly the same number of angels are sitting there. So if there was 10, there was 10 angels there. If there was 50, there was 50 angels there. Then the Prophet said, when this group of people does tasbih, say subhanallah, they say subhanallah. When this group say tahmid, alhamdulillah, they say alhamdulillah. When this group say takbir, Allahu Akbar, they say Allahu Akbar. So now we learn something else about the angels. Same number attend the gatherings. And they copy you. So if you're doing zikr, they're doing that zikr. Why? Allah Ta'ala loves it. He's telling them to copy. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, thereafter the angels go up to their Lord, who knows his servants better than the angels. And they say, O our Lord, your servants did tasbih, we did tasbih. They did tahmid, we did tahmid. They did takbir, we did takbir. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, O my angels, bear witness that I have forgiven them. Then they say, Fihim fulanan wa fulanan al-khattaa. Amongst them was such and such sinner. But that doesn't translate well, right? They actually said, amongst them is a great wrongdoer. Khata means an error. You made a mistake. Khata. He's amongst them was one of them. The Most High then says, Humul qawmu la yashka bihim jaleesuhum. They are such a nation that not even one who sat with them shall remain deprived. Subhanallah. They are such a nation that not even one who sat with them shall remain deprived. So look how amazing. We got another report now. Another incident. This verse is again, the Prophet recited. Note, it wasn't revealed. He just recited it again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is happening in the unseen world, the Prophet is telling you. You need to know. People don't know what the deal is. So how many of us sitting here? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9 angels. Well, 10 with me. There's 10 angels here. If you're doing dhikr, they're copying you. Do you believe that? Right? Of course we believe it. But anybody told you? And when the gathering finishes, what happens? They go up. Because Allah Ta'ala need to know. He knows. The hadith goes, he knows you better than the angels. And they then send the report back. Imagine. And then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Bear witness, I have forgiven them. Then the angels get confused. Why? Because we're not all saints. Because, ya Allah, there was... But you know that there was a big... You know, there's a shaitan there amongst them. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? This is the key. He says, humul qawmu la yashka bihim jaleesuhum. This is a nation that not even one who sat with them shall remain deprived. What did Allah ta'ala call that people? Nation, qawm. Meaning that these are very intelligent people. They deserve to be a nation themselves. So what's one of the easiest ways to secure the forgiveness of your sins? Gatherings of zikr. People don't understand gatherings of zikr. And where's the best place to do it? In the masjid. That's why you get the reward of a hajj, sahih hadith in Hakim. Reward of an umrah, sahih hadith in Tabarani. You get the spoils when you return, Imam Malik's Muwatta. You're sitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir. People don't know. Right? And what the foolish thing they come out with, what's the talk about? Are you interested in that? Right? Is it Islam? Yeah. I want a piece of that cake. Right? And you'll know it's certain people with knowledge. What they do is, they can't sit for the whole talk. They'll sit for a little bit. And then they leave. And their intention was to get some of that rahmah the Prophet was talking about. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the rahmah? The Prophet is explaining what the rahmah is. It's the divine mercy descending. So this is another thing about this verse. Look at all these commentaries on this holy verse. What else about this verse? So there's a sheikh who's passed away. Sheikh Maulana Yunus Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, who was the son of Sheikh Muhammad Umar Palanpuri. And there's a work called Scattered Pearls. And this is basically just his notes. When he would learn something, he'd write it down. So Scattered Pearls, volume 4, page 61 of the English translation. He said about this verse. Now look what Allah Ta'ala says in this verse. وَلَا تَعْدُ عِيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Let not your eyes overlook them. It says that clearly in that verse. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلَا تَعْدُ عِيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Do not let your eyes overlook them. The Shaykh, who I just quoted, he said, this is clearly an order to look at something. Allah Ta'ala is ordering who? The Prophet, look at them. The glorious Quran urges us, let your eyes not overlook them. This means we should keep looking at such people who have endeared themselves to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one way which shall help us to endear ourselves to Allah. So stop in the court. He's giving you a secret. He says, if you look at people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was the Prophet told to do? He's told to look at the Sahaba. What does that tell you about the Sahaba? Not the Rawafid, their belief. Allah Ta'ala is saying, tell him, look at them. The Shaykh goes, Allah Ta'ala is telling him to look at those who are close to him. Then he said, this is one way which will help you to become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's one of the ways to do it? Look at David Beckham, right? Look at those who are close, just looking at them. They're beloved, that's why you're looking at them. You say, ya Allah, I don't know, but outwardly I think he's close to you or she's close to you. So you look, what happens? Allah Ta'ala reverses it back on you. It's like a magnet. Then the Shaykh says, to sum up, Allah the Most High orders us to avert our sight from two things. And we're going to come to that. From wealth and beauty. The Quran mentions it, these verses, if you read them very carefully. You don't look at the wealth, don't look at the beauty. Zinatun hayat al-dunya. Don't look at it. And he orders us to look at one thing. The faces of those who are dear. People don't even study Quran, right? Somebody goes, oh brother, what's the song of Allah? One verse, brother. Are you looking at the beauty of the world? You know, obeying Allah, forget about Shaykh. Oh Are you right? And then he goes, are you looking at, you know, the, astaghfirullah, the wealth? Does it impress you? You're not obeying Allah Ta'ala, forget about Shaykh. Are you looking at those who are beloved to Allah Ta'ala? Like, look, there you're going to get ill. You're doing what you're not supposed to be doing. You're taking the poison and the medicine you're not taking. What's going to happen to you? Then the Shaykh says, let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the beauty of this worldly life. Means, if we do not heed this command, then we will not be different from those who yearn for the worldly life. You become like them. Look how disastrous that is. So somebody's completely into dunya. You see him, Kacha diving straight in, left, right and center. You can say they are not always off his head. He's off his head. But you're looking at them. And Allah knows what your mouth is saying, what your heart's doing. You will become like them. That's what the verse is telling you. No good doing, oh yeah, yeah, they're off their head. Be careful, brother. Be careful. But you know, ooh, I won't mind a piece of that boy. Like, next minute, Allah Ta'ala goes, there you go, join him. Right? All of that is derived from this verse. The Shaykh made a little personal note, but look how generous he was. He goes, I'll share it with you. So simply put, what did he say? If you look at the pious, Allah Ta'ala will bounce that mercy back onto you. This is why the Prophet, for instance, the Prophet said in Hakim Sahih, to look at Ali is an act of worship. It's a hadith. So a person goes, why Ali? So because the Prophet said it. Then he goes, why is it an act of worship? I mean, you read Quran, brother. Quran explains hadith. Hadith explains Quran. Ali was one of the most beloved servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was happening? The Prophet goes, he's encouraging. Look at him. Just look at him. No, just keep looking at him. Why did he say that? You know, do I benefit by looking? I need to learn, get his knowledge. He has to open his mouth. He doesn't have to open his mouth. Just look. That's why Hafiz ibn Qayyim. Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he was a scholar, a great scholar. And he had other students. Ibn Taymiyyah had many students. Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Rajab, Ibn Kathir. Great scholars. And what did they say? When we were feeling low, when we were being tested, when we didn't know where to turn, we would all run to the prison. So they looked at their teacher. Why would you run to the prison? He goes, our teacher was there, Ibn Taymiyyah. And he goes, when we saw him, our hearts felt at ease. Why did these great scholars run to the prison? Because they were acting upon the Quran. Because we need that mercy. And the funny thing was, who was really in prison? If you think about that, he's behind bars. But really, they go, we need to get see the Shaykh. Who's really in prison? And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah said, the one whose heart is taken away from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's in prison. And people don't realize that, you know, they're in prison. Their heart is away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look how interesting that is. And isn't that true? Right? You know, you go and then you see, you know, Allah ne banda, what happens? You feel calm. Because he's brought me back without saying anything. And yet you see other people, oh my God. You think, oh my God, my mind's in jeopardy. And you're spending time with him. So I think about that. So Quran is telling you that all this verse. So I'm spending time on this verse to highlight also what's interesting. In another verse, Surah 22 verse 28. In Surah 22 verse 28, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Forget about human beings. What does he say? That they may witness things that benefit them. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. What is Allah ta'ala talking about there? He's talking about Hajj. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? This is the only thing he says about Hajj. He's a pillar. You know, people say, brother, why? I understand Shahada. I understand Salat. I understand Zakat. I understand fasting. Why is Hajj a pillar? Then the guy gets confused. Go, oh brother, look, it's command, you know, it's Allah Ta'ala. I know, but it's a pillar. Why is Allah Ta'ala made it a farad? He tells you only one thing about Hajj. This is what he says. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. That they may witness things that benefit them. And he goes, what? That you will see things. And what does he say about that? Manafi. It will benefit you when you look at them. What are you looking at when you go to Hajj? The Holy Kaaba. It has an impact on you. People change their lives looking at the Kaaba. It's just a structure. It's not even a human being. Right? You see other things. You know, you go to Arafat, you go to Mina, you study, you know where you are. You go to Zamzam, you go to the Black Stone, you go to Muzdalifah, you go to the Yemeni corner, you go here, you go there, everywhere. What does Allah Ta'ala say? That looking is what the core reason is why you do Hajj. So you can talk about it day and night, but you haven't seen it. So Allah Ta'ala goes, once in your life you have to go. So why have I mentioned that here? If a pillar of our deen is to do with looking, then what about looking at the righteous? How important is that? And where do you find the righteous? In markets. You know, this is one of the signs of the righteous. You ask a person, brother, where can I find so-and-so? If they say somewhere is stupid, you know there's something wrong with him. But if they go, he's always in masjid. And you go, oh right, that's good. Allah Ta'ala is inviting somebody to his masjid. He just told you that. There's something about this person. He's just always in masjid. You find him in masjid. If he's not there, I don't know where he is. But if they go, you'll never find him. If he is in masjid, you shock me. That means Allah Ta'ala is telling you something. May dua for him. And what do people say? My iman's weak. And he goes, brother, I don't know. I don't have to give you a bayan, but are you going to masjid? And then he goes, why are you asking me that for? But my iman's in critical dying. And he goes, no, it's critical. But you, what's happened? You go to masjid. And he starts giving, and eventually he goes, well, I used to. Oh, right, you used to. That's interesting. Have you ever seen the person say this? My iman's critically weak, but I always go to masjid. There's a sign there. Allah Ta'ala is telling you how to strengthen your iman. And there's one other thing about this verse I want to mention. What Shaykh Maududi said, rahmatullah alayh. So Shaykh Maududi, he says in his commentary, though these words, I verse 28, have been addressed to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are really meant for the chiefs of the Quraysh. So now this is a big mistake people make. They go, oh, what does Allah Ta'ala say? And they give you that impression that Allah Ta'ala is rebuking the Prophet. Keep your soul content with those who call upon their Lord. Instead of doing this, keep your soul content, your soul. And then you go, brother, so what are you saying? Because Allah Ta'ala was telling Rasulullah off. Whose commentary is that? Well, it's clear, isn't it? Yeah. They'll see Chacha Sahab, right? Shaykh Maududi says these words, even though Allah Ta'ala is talking to his beloved, he's really talking to the chiefs of the Quraysh, telling them how to get. Find the sakin they want. He's telling them. Then he said, according to a hadith, he quotes the hadith from Ibn Abbas. And he quotes these hadith. The hadith I've just quoted with Bilal, Khabbab, Ammar, Ibn Masud. And then this verse was revealed. Then the Shaykh said, your wealth, he's talking to the chiefs, Allah Ta'ala, your wealth, your pomp, and the show which you are so proud of has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? What does Allah Ta'ala say to them? Say to us, don't look at their wealth. Don't look at what they're proud of. So if he's telling you to turn away from that, what's that telling you? Why are you proud of that? If Allah Ta'ala, what do we look down on? Excrement. If you see dog dung, you turn away from it. If somebody loves dog dung, there's something wrong with him, isn't there? So if Allah Ta'ala is telling you to turn away from the beauty of this dunya, the wealth, that means it's worth nothing. So the Shaykh says, Allah Ta'ala is telling the Quraysh chiefs, your wealth, your pomp, which you are so proud of, has no value in my sight. And with my messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these poor people are really more worthy in my sight, for they are sincere, bi wajhillah, to me. Then look what he said, Shaykh Maududi, something interesting. The same was the attitude of the chiefs of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's time, who said, and look at this verse, I'll mention it. If you turn to Surah 11 verse 30. Surah 11 verse 30. So what did they say to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam? So Surah 11 verse 29, sorry. He says, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, O my people, Yaqum, I don't ask any wealth from you. My reward is from Allah. I will not drive away those who believe. For verily they are to meet their Lord. And you, I see, are jahil, ignorant. And O my people, who would help me against Allah if I drove them away? Will you not take heed? This was the first messenger. Look how amazing. Allah Ta'ala is going back to the first messenger. He goes, haven't you learned anything, your people? The chiefs of Nuh, he goes, tell them to go. We want to sit with you. Tell them to go. So what did Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam say? Qati, Quran, no hadith. What does he say to his people? If I drive them away, he goes, who will help me against Allah? But you're jahil, he called them jahil. He goes, this is a jahil statement to make. So Shaykh Maududi recited that. He goes, the same sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, the same illnesses people have still got, they'll always have it. And what did the Prophet say to finish? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Nasa'i, Sahih hadith. He goes, there is a standard which the people will always ignorantly turn to. And that is wealth. So the Prophet warned you about that. He goes, wealth doesn't mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. What did, for example, what did these Sahaba have? They only had shirt on their bike. So if you got wealth as a standard, they're nobodies. But they were very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The both the Prophet, this is the sadness. Because I've told you not to take wealth as a standard. But you will still do it. And what is the classic sign that we still take it as a standard? What's one of the opening questions people ask you? So what are you doing nowadays, brother? What are you doing nowadays? What they really want to know. What wage bracket are you in? Why are you that interested? I'm not working, brother. Straight away they go. Okay, they're there. Another person goes, yeah, I've got three jobs. They go, with your face, oh, right? What's got three jobs? Why is that? Why are you so impressed with that? Right? And then you get one with the profession. They start choking. He goes, yeah, I'm a doctor. Right? Doctor, right? And he goes, what's going on? Right? The standard, the false standard. Why are you so concerned about wealth? One of the scholars said, shrouds don't have pockets. What did he say? Why did he say that? Like shrouds don't have pockets. Billionaire dies. Even if they put pockets in his shroud, is he going to help him? What few notes in there? Help him like that, right? There's no pockets in his shrouds, right? The guy wakes up, what's he taking with him? Behaki and Shu'bul Iman Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the person is being carried to his grave, the angels ask, what has he brought with him? The people ask, what has he left behind? Nobody wants on their gravestone this. I wish I had spent more time in the office. If you saw that, imagine, you saw a gravestone, you saw that written on the gravestone. You burst out laughing. He's 6 foot under, what's he wrote on the gravestone? I wish I'd spent, he never said that. Why? Then why are you doing it now? Right? Because you've lost in dunya. Right, we're here on the earth to get out safely from the earth. Have you forgot that? We were sent down. It's in prison. We've been put in prison. We need to get out of prison safely. That's our main job, not to get jobs in prison. Right? Imagine what you're doing. I'm a warden. What are you doing? I clean toilets. What do you do? Right? Astaghfirullah. So note, look at this amazing verse. So to read the verse again, verse 18. And keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking only His face. Let not your eyes pass beyond them, seeking the pomp and beauty of this world, nor obey any whose heart we have permitted to neglect the remembrance of us. One who follows his hawa, his desires, whose case has gone beyond all bounds. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريدون زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. We pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah SWT that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi.